This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He's the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more in the Fort Smith region. And last we talked to you, Michael, you were on your way to Florida to see the last ever shuttle launch. Were you able to see it?
Yes, we did. It was iffy right up until about 30 minutes before the launch because of the weather, but we did get to see it. It's hard to describe. I mean, it was just an amazing experience, and those millions of pounds of fuel and weight, it's just amazing to watch that clear the tower and just move through the sky quickly. I mean, you literally have 25, maybe 35 seconds to soak it in, or you miss it.
That may have been the last shuttle launch. We have not heard the last of what may or may not happen with a vote for the 1% prepared food tax in Fort Smith. It's getting more interesting by the hour.
Right. I think there's more hot gas being thrown out on this issue than there is the shuttle launch. I don't know if it's ever going to quit. But yes, the Fort Smith Board of Directors, or at least one director, City Director Pam Weber, is backing up and saying, well, let's forget this petition effort. Let's just throw this to a vote and see what the folks say. And that was during a study session. Of course, they can't make a formal vote during a study session, but it'll come up this upcoming Tuesday. So we may get a better sense of where this issue is going. And just as a way of reminder, this is 1% prepared food tax, which almost every city in Arkansas that has a convention and visitors bureau and a convention center, they have this tax. Fort Smith is the one city, Arkansas' second largest city, that does not have the tax. But that's what they're trying to do, and they've run up against a handful of folks who are just adamantly opposed to this idea.
Now, there's some concern that perhaps if maybe these petitions, again, there should be an appeal. There's some concern that if the board of directors does say, let's go ahead and call the vote, that maybe then you'd still have to have another vote because you would have the petitions that have called for the vote. It's getting quite complicated.
Right. There's a lot of legal gray area. You know, the petitions are out there. Judge Michael Fitzhugh forced the city to give them another deadline to accept more signatures. And Kyle, they turned in enough signatures. I just don't see how they don't have the requisite number to force an election. That is the issue. If the city board says, heck with it, we're going to schedule an election, then what happens with this petition? Because these folks have legally moved through the process to create an election. Would there be two elections on it? One of the board members suggested, well, maybe if we move forward with this, then the petition group in good faith can say, okay, we pull back our petition and we'll go with this vote. Because in a way, what the city director Weber did, it does box the petitioners in, because their primary mantra through this whole thing has been, we just want to vote. That's all we're after. We just want to vote on this. Well, okay, here's your vote. So were you serious about that? So that, but that is a legal issue. And then the legal issue of the appeal, the city maintains some pretty strong arguments that they think they could win on appeal. And there are people in the community divided. You know, they say, well, if the city believes they have a legal standing, they should not cave to people. They should move forward. And other folks say, well, look, just push it to a vote and be finished with all this. So it's damn the thing. When this started 3 years ago, I didn't know we'd still be scrapping like this over a 1% prepared food tax.
And amidst all this now is some discussion, some talk of a possible effort to recall some of the directors.
Yes, and this is an example of how this is getting out of hand. But when I was covering one of the court hearings for the when the petition folks sued the city to get more time, one gentleman came up to me, Jerry Burnett, handed me his card and said, "You need to do a story. We're going to try to recall these folks." Well, I didn't think anything of it, but the rumors just wouldn't go away. So we pulled together a story. And some folks were saying that city directors Hutchings and Katsavas and Settle were in on it, but I talked to them and they weren't. In fact, they all say that that's silly. It's silly to, or ridiculous, I think was the word Katsavas used, to recall folks just because they have a difference of an opinion on how to fund a convention center. They say this doesn't rise to the level of requiring a recall. But Kyle, that just goes to there's a handful of folks here in Fort Smith who just, for whatever reason, they're just very passionate and they're very vocal about their opposition to this tax, and they carry it over to, they just have a deep mistrust with city government.
Well, speaking of passion, there are some people that are very passionate about the legislative redistricting. We've already had the congressional redistricting, of course, and later this month we expect to see the final maps on legislative redistricting, and some people, well, you're not going to please everybody.
Right. Yes, and it really dices up Northwest Arkansas, and I apologize for not having any analysis on that, but it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out in Northwest Arkansas. But here in the Fort Smith area, it completely redraws the lines that we've become accustomed to, at least on the Senate side, that we've become accustomed to in the last 10 years. Of course, this is required through the census, but these final draft maps weren't supposed to be released until July 19th, and then the Board of Apportionment is supposed to vote on them July 29th, but for whatever reason, BB's office pushed theirs out early, and we got a hold of that late Wednesday, and so here we are. But it creates some interesting dynamics. It creates a district in the eastern part of the region that really does not have an incumbent, so that could be wide open for a race, and it potentially will create a GOP primary against some known Republicans. You have former Representative Rick Green of Van Buren wants to run for the Senate. You've got Jake Files here in Fort Smith, who's the incumbent senator from Fort Smith, and Bruce Holland, who's from Greenwood, and he's the senator representing the district that now covers Greenwood and other parts. But if it gets, depending on where, and it really hinges upon where Mr. Holland lives, it'll either force a primary against Holland and Green or Holland and Files.
And what's so interesting about this redistricting process when it happens, and especially in this side of the state when you've had a surge of population, is that no matter what map finally gets passed, someone is going to be looking at something that looks a little odd just because of the rules that you have to try to follow.
Right. I heard, I'm not sure if it was BB, but in the past couple of months, someone predicted that, he said, I predict with 100% certainty that someone's ox is going to get gored. So I'm not sure if that was the right, I think I quoted that correctly, but yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Well, so much for a quiet and boring summer, eh?
Oh, yeah, exactly, Kyle. I thought, well, we'll be able to, most people take vacation, the news slows down during the summer, but so far the news has been as hot as the temperatures.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. It covers business, politics, culture, and the increasing temperatures for the Fort Smith region. Stay cool this weekend. It's going to be very, very hot.
It will. I'm going to stay inside.
All right. Michael, thank you as always.
All right. Talk to you later.